Friends, my name is Kevin Key.
Brethren and friends, we live, I believe, in the most advanced age that has ever dwelt upon the face of this earth. What do we think in regard to technology as well as science and where we are as a nation and as a world? It's just mind-boggling to me whenever I consider electronically where we are with all of the gadgets that we have at our disposal and usage. The internet is just something, and cell phones, that is mind-boggling to me, that I do not understand how they work, but I trust that they do work. And where we are in the field of medicine with what we're able to do and what we're able to prescribe to help individuals who would have died many years prior had they not been able to receive the technology, these treatments, the medication that we have at our disposal today. But brethren, while today I say that we live in one of the most advanced, or possibly the most advanced age, I also stand before you and tell you that I believe that we are living in the most immoral, unethical, and ungodly age. Why do I state that? Because today, here in America and universally, unfaithfulness to one's spouse is seen as commonplace. When we think in regard to lying, cheating, and stealing, it's become the norm. But then too, we find is that our legislators are seeking to legalize things, and that they have, in fact, legalized things in this world that we look at and we identify that God Himself would not stand for, and that His people cannot, we cannot support. We must not advocate. We must not join hands with those individuals who teach and who want to do, to practice in an ungodly manner. Good people, one of the most foulest things that I find here in the world today, here in America, is the legalization of abortion. And as I stand before you this morning, I tell you that it is killing us as a country. What do we find in regard to abortion? Good people, we understand that many years ago, the United States Supreme Court heard a case concerning Roe versus Wade, and in this, it was determined, it was argued whether or not the fetus represented just tissue or that of life. And what was the result of that? January the 22nd, 1973, the Supreme Court ruled that it is tissue and that a mother has the right to abort her child. It is her choice whether or not she wants to abort. It is her freedom of choice to determine whether or not she wants to give birth or whether she wants to terminate the pregnancy in abortion. To people, in regard to all of these things, the numbers are appalling to me. When we think in regard to the abortions that take place here in the United States, it's just astonishing to the great number that takes place on a daily basis. 3,700 abortions take place here in the United States for a grand total of 1,350 throughout the course of a year. But it's not only here in the United States. Universally, we are suffering with this serious sinful problem. Why do I state that? 115,000 take place on a daily basis for 4.195500 throughout the course of a year. Good people, that's over 4 million abortions take place throughout the course of a year universally. And then too, from the time in which it was legalized in 1973, it is estimated that 42 billion abortions, 42 babies have lost their lives due to the sinfulness of this thing that is legal here throughout the world. Good people, abortions, who are having them? Adults as well as youth. And the statistics that I looked at showed that 52% of those women who are having abortions are under the age of 25. Teenagers make up the majority of all of that. In this we find is that those who are rich as well as those who are poor, we find that individuals who are married as well as single participate in having abortions. And then too, those who want to call themselves religious, who claim that they believe in God, these ladies are having abortions. And then too, and not surprising to us, those who are atheists, who do not believe in God. But then too, the educated and the uneducated. What does this tell us? Good people, People from all ages and all walks of life do not see anything at all wrong with having abortions, with killing babies. In this, why are they having abortions? Sometimes because it is not the gender that they want. Sometimes they will want a female, but yet it's a male that's in the womb. And for that reason, they will terminate. They will terminate that child's life. But then too, sometimes whenever rape takes place, they do not want to face having that child from that situation. And for that reason then, this young lady or lady will choose to abort, to destroy, to not give life upon the face of that earth, or this earth, to that child. But then too, sometimes finances factor into the equation. And then too, affairs come into place. And also we understand is that teen pregnancy is on the rise. And the teens do not want to deal with having a child. And good people, today as I stand before you, I tell you that two wrongs does not make a right. Amen. In this, we also understand concerning abortion that there are multiple methods that are used. There is surgical methods wherein the lady is wheeled into the surgical room, and they use tools, instruments to cut the baby into pieces and to pull the baby out and to suction the remaining portions out of the womb. And the people, they do not look at this as a child, but rather they look at it as fetal tissue that the woman has the right to destroy. But then also we understand that chemicals are sometimes induced into the bloodstream. And hence, as a result of that, the woman starts to have her contractions. And she then, therefore, is forced to have the child. And then whenever the child is born, that child is laid upon a table and it suffocates to death. But then too, today, as I stand before you, not too many years ago, there's those morning after pills that are encouraged. That if an individual, a couple, get themselves involved in a sexual relationship and they do not protect themselves in that sexual relationship, then the morning after, they can take pills that will abort, that will terminate that pregnancy or the possibility of the pregnancy within the womb of that lady. Brethren, what does the Bible have to say in regard to abortion? What does the Bible have to say in regard to these innocent children? Life comes from our God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. We understand that God said, "Let us create man after our image, after our own likeness." Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being, a living soul. We understand from a biblical standpoint in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1 that life begins in the womb. It begins at the point of conception. And good people, what takes place after that? That life continues then at that point to develop in the womb. The heart takes beat. In taking beat then, formation begins with the hands, the arms, the legs, the feet, as well as the vital organs wherein that child needs to develop while it is in the womb. So that after it comes out of the womb, then therefore it is able to advance following birth. It is able to mature, is able to function properly in and throughout the course of life. What do we learn in regard to this? Good people, we understand that God is working with that child that is in the mother's womb, bringing forth the development, helping that child to develop so that whenever it comes forth out of the mother's womb, that it will indeed be able to live and to thrive upon the face of this earth. Whenever we think in regard to the Scripture, good people, the Bible identifies concerning babies that whenever they are outside of the womb, they are babies. And yet that same term for a baby, as is used in regard to whenever they live here upon the face of the earth, whenever they are found in the mother's womb, they are in like figure referred to as a baby. What is it that God is trying to tell us? Good people, He's telling us that there's a life in there. He's telling us that it's not just fetal tissue, but rather that fetal tissue is a life. It is a child. It is a baby that the mother needs to understand. And then in like figure, not only her, sometimes the father, if it's just to call him a father, encourages women to do this sin, encourages them to take the life. And those individuals need to understand, as what she does, is that this is not your choice. It is a life. And that life in the womb has a right to live. The woman says that she has the right, but where's the right of that child? Brethren, that child has a right to live. And those who would choose to abort, they need to consider they need to consider what would have happened if their parents had chose to abort them. There is life in the womb, and that life comes from our God. And what else does the Bible tell us? Scripturally, we understand that abortion is murder. And how does God feel in regard to murder? Good people, He hates those hands that shed innocent blood. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 17. God hates those hands that will shed innocent blood. The murder of an infant in the womb, that child is innocent. They have done absolutely nothing wrong. And the mother or father or both who were participating in that, God looks at your hands as well as the surgeon who performs that abortion, and our God hates. Our God despises that individual for the sin of which they have committed. But then too, our God warns concerning the shedding of innocent blood. He says that those who shed innocent blood, then in like figure their blood shall be required of them. Good people, why is this? Because God condemned on a continual basis the shedding of innocent blood. A shedding of taking life that is undeserving of death. That child in the womb has done absolutely nothing wrong. That child in the womb has done nothing deserving of death, but rather deserving of life and an opportunity and a chance to live here in this world is what you and I enjoy. God looks at abortion and He defines it as murder. But then in like figure, He defines it as sin. Good people, abortion is sin. It is sin. It is sin against the baby. We learn from the Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 4, how Jesus feels in regard to babies and little children. And that is that they are safe, that they are innocent in His sight. And whenever abortion is performed, it is a sin against that innocent life. It is a sin that will not enable that child to live here, to enjoy life, to get to know their parents, to be able to live life to its fullest and to be able to learn concerning its Creator God as well as to serve Him, our God, faithfully in and throughout the course of life. It is a sin against the baby, but then in like figure, it is a sin against the woman. The woman who considers abortion needs to understand, as what the Apostle Paul taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. He says that you do not belong to yourself. You've been bought with a price. The body is the temple of God. And good people, as the temple of God, we have a responsibility to live our lives in a holy manner, but then too, to live our lives so that we do not defile ourselves, and then in like figure to that, so that we do not harm the temple of God. Abortion harms the body of the female having the abortion. Whenever an object is stuck into the uterus, whenever an object is stuck up in there to perform the abortion, it is a foreign object that oftentimes scars the woman internally. But brethren, not only scars her internally, it scars her emotionally for life. I have spoke with women who have had abortions performed upon them very regrettingly at this end, realizing the seriousness and the sin of which they have committed, and now they've turned and they want to repent of those things. And they've sat and they've cried uncontrollably, because they have been scarred for life with that choice that they have chosen to do concerning that child. But then too, today I tell you that it is a sin against society. We learn in the book of Romans chapter 13 verses 1 through 7 that God is responsible for the creation of government. And brethren, I tell you that it is a sin against society because those children that have been aborted, those babies that have been killed in abortion. Can you imagine the world leaders that could have, that most likely would have come out of those children? Possibly we would have had leaders who were God-fearing men who wanted to serve as President of the United States versus those men that we've had in office for the past several years who would indeed take a stand against abortion, against homosexuality, against the things that are ungodly. And they would lead us down the paths of righteousness. But good people, not only from a societal standpoint, in like figure, it is a sin against the church. It is a sin against the church to the point to where gospel preachers, as well as elders, elders' wives, members of the church who would serve faithfully, men and women alike. It is a sin against society and the church. But the bottom line of all this is that it is a sin against our God. We learn in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 that God has created man after His image, after His own likeness. And good people, it is only God's right to take the life. And God has placed in process throughout the course of life that an individual will live upon the face of this earth. And then it is God's will that they will die someday. And good people, we do not have the right to intervene. It is not our right. We do not have that choice to make concerning the baby or even euthanasia. We may do a lesson in a few weeks in regard to this. It is not our choice to make. God has put life in motion as well as the process of death. And we need to allow these things to continue forward. What is it that we can do whenever it comes to the pregnant woman as well as the child that dwells within? We need to defend the unborn. We need to speak up. These children need to have a voice. And brothers and sisters in Christ, they need for you and I to speak up to our government. They need us to speak up to those who are in control of making laws and to let them know that we do not agree with abortion and that these children indeed have a right to live and that we're going to oppose them no matter what stance they take in regard to the legalization and furthering of such sin. But then too, I encourage us not to become vigilantes. I watched a movie several years ago that had Charles Bronson in it. And it was entitled The Vigilante. And this man, his wife had been killed, murdered. And this man took matters into his own hands because he could not get the law enforcement to do anything about it. And he went about killing those, first off, who had killed his spouse. And then he went about killing others who were committing such crimes. And brethren, God does not need us to stand in His place. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. Romans chapter 12, verses 17 through 21. And we need to understand that whenever it comes to abortion clinics, whenever it comes to hospitals that perform abortions, they do not need us. God does not want us walking into those places with bombs or guns. But rather to understand that vengeance will indeed belong to the Lord someday. These people will stand before Him to give an account for the sin that they have committed against Him and against themselves and against society and against that baby. But then too, we need to dispose ungodly leaders. God is indeed responsible for the creation of government, but yet I contend, as you've already heard me state in previous lessons, that God does not always condone what these leaders do. And neither should we. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, we understand that we are to obey God rather than man. And whenever we have an opportunity to vote, we need to understand, we need to be educated concerning where these people stand. Are they pro-life or are they pro-choice? If they're pro-choice, good people, that the woman has the right to choose to abort the child, then we need to vote them out. If they're pro-choice, we need to get on their bandwagon and support those individuals who say that the child has a right to life. We need to dispose. We need to make certain that those who stand in support of abortion, that we are not helping to put them into office so that they can make these laws. And they need to make certain that, or we need to make certain that they know this. But still, inevitably, some people will say, "But Kevin, what if?" And they have all of these questions that come up and they say, "Kevin, well, what if there are medical reasons? What if the baby is deformed? Or what if the mother's life is in jeopardy?" And good people, today as I stand before you, I tell you that there are realms to that that I do not understand. But yet at the same time, I believe that we need to trust in our God. That God's not going to give us more than what we can handle. But then in like figure, people will say, "Well, what about rape? In a situation where a woman is raped or a child is raped and she becomes pregnant, shouldn't she be able to have an abortion?" But then too, they will say, "What about finances? You know that today we're living in a very trialsome times where that, as an economy, Our economy is on the bottom, and Kevin, it would just be so terrible to bring a child into a situation wherein that the parents are not going to be able to fend for themselves, let alone another face to feed. Kevin, shouldn't these individuals have the right to abort? But then too, what about the unwanted children? What about in situations where teen pregnancies come about? Shouldn't these people be able to abort? Brethren, I tell you today that abortion's not the option. Or rather, adoption is the option. There are plenty of people out there who are willing to adopt, who are desirous to give these children a home, and to give them a life, and to give them love, and to give them an opportunity to live life here. And then, too, there are Christian brethren, brothers and sisters of the church, who would want nothing more than to have an opportunity to touch a life, not only to live here, but then to get to know our God. Abortion. As our God looks at abortion, He sees that as a society we have accepted it. He sees that as a society we not only accept it, but yet we promote it. We encourage individuals to participate. But yet God wants us to understand that He looks at it and He sees it as murder. And good people, He looks at it and seeing it as murder, He wants us to understand that it is a very serious sin. It is a sin against the baby. It is a sin against the mother. It is a sin against society and the church. And it is a sin against our God. And good people, all sin, whenever they stand before God in judgment, will be brought out. But then too, today, we need to understand that it is a sin that can be forgiven. You've not received the forgiveness of our God. We beg and we plead of you to understand and to come home to Him.